Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey everyone, PA here, Pastor Adam Burden. Thanks so much for tuning into our Every Nation channel. And as always, I want to remind you that God has got a word for you. God's got a word for you today. And so I'm pretty excited. We're actually beginning a new series. We're going to take probably a year to go through chapter by chapter through the book of Acts. It is actually known as the Acts of the Apostles, but it's kind of fascinating as you get down into the nuts and bolts of the book. Man, it should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Man, because the Spirit of God is at work throughout the book of Acts. And in fact, like 17 of the 28 chapters, you'll find the Holy Spirit, present and at work. And here's just the big idea for us today. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit that's at work in the book of Acts is the same Spirit at work today in and through your life. And so that's kind of where we're headed. So quick story is, so there's a guy, a pastor out of Dallas. His name is Matt Chandler. I steal all his stuff all the time. So anyways, get off me. But it's funny. He shares a story when he was a young minister on staff at a church. And the church was a little bit theologically confused. You know, it was a cessationist. And what that means is that, so they just believed that all the gifts of the Holy Spirit kind of died and passed away with the apostles. And yet, one of the leaders and mentors in this church that Matt Chandler was a part of, actually he was a charismatic guy, believed in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so I believe this guy's name was Bob Hamm. And so Bob asked Matt Chandler, young Matt Chandler, he says, Matt, what's the Holy Spirit doing in Abilene? And so they were actually in Abilene, Texas at the time. And so, you know, Matt Chandler, he was kind of like, whatever, what a goofy question to ask, you know. And then Bob Hamm says, Matt, let's ask the Holy Spirit what he's doing in Abilene. And so he says, Matt, let's sit down and just quiet our souls. And whatever comes to your spirit, comes to mind, he says, I want you to write it down. And so after a bit of time, Chandler, he writes down the first thing that popped into his head. And the first thing that popped in was a Whataburger on Interstate 22. So Whataburger, think of it, it's a burger chain place. By the way, if you've never been there, shame on you. The burgers are delicious. And so so Whataburger comes to mind. And then as he's like, man, I must just be hungry or something. And then something else bubbled up on the inside of him. He had the impression of a man with black pants and a blue shirt. Black pants and a blue shirt. And then finally, this word popped into his head. Pigtails, right? And so he wrote down those three things and he says, this is so stupid. And, you know, he showed Bob Hamm, hey, this is what came to mind. And so Bob says, well, you know, it's late. What if we just go to Whataburger? And so they went to Whataburger on Route 22. The place was packed, but there was no guy that they saw that matched the description that Matt Chandler had written out. And so they're like, well, let's at least get a burger and some nuggets, you know? And so Matt's waiting in line when all of a sudden he's like, oh my gosh, I think that's the guy I got an impression of. And there was a guy, sure enough, black pants and a blue shirt. And so he was there and he informs Bob Hamm and he's like, I think that's the guy I just had like an impression of. And so Bob Hamm was undeterred and he goes over to this gentleman and starts chatting him up. And to Matt Chandler's surprise, it's like they know each other. And so come to find out that Bob Hamm had ministered to this gentleman in black pants and a blue shirt. He ministered to he and his family. And this guy in black pants and a blue shirt, he notified Bob. He's like, he says, Bob, I don't know if you remember, but you ministered to me and my family. And I'm sure you remember my daughter. He says, she wore pigtails all the time. And then Bob Hamm, he was like, immediately, he says, you got to come with me. And then he brought the gentleman over and says, Matt, I want you to show this gentleman your sheet of paper. He opened up the sheet of paper and the guy broke down crying. And here's what he said. He says, listen, my daughter, the one with pigtails, He says, she's currently in jail. He says, I'm just taking a break right now. She's awaiting her court date. She got caught up into some really bad things. And so I just came here to get a bite to eat. And then I was going to go back to see her. And he says, Bob Hamm, he says, I want you to know that the Lord sees you and he sees your daughter. And so he gave him the sheet of paper. The guy brought it back to his daughter in jail, and right there on the spot, she rededicated her life to Jesus and got back on track. Isn't that kind of cool? Man, it all started by one simple question. Man, what's the Holy Spirit doing in Abilene? And I think that's a good question to answer or to ask yourself. Man, what is the Holy Spirit doing in your world? What is God wanting to do all around you? Have you asked the question? I think it's a really good question, and that the Holy Spirit, that God will answer it for you. And so I'll start doing this. So as we're in the book of Acts, here's what you need to know, that the book of Acts is actually a continuation of the gospel of Luke. Do you know, originally when it was written down, that it was actually one book, the writings of Luke, and then they divided it up into the gospel of Luke and to the Acts of the Apostles. And so here's what's interesting, man, in the gospels, man, God saves us through the cross of Jesus Christ. But in the book of Acts, he fills us with his Spirit and he sends us. The Gospels, God saves us. Man, in the book of Acts, God sends us on a mission. And he sends his people to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. And so if you're not familiar with the book of Acts, it's kind of strange. There's 28 chapters, and at the last chapter, chapter 28, it just ends. Like Paul's in a Roman prison. We don't know. Does he get out? Does everything end happily ever after? Like, there's no closure, no bow on the end of it all. It just ends. And here's the reason why. Because the story is still being written through you and through me. I don't know if you realize this, but you and I are Acts 29, Acts 30, Acts 31. The story continues on through you and me. It's just our turn in the story of God. So when I first retired from the NHL, I was called into ministry to help my pastor, Ron Lewis, plant a church in Manhattan after the devastation of 9/11. And so we planted a church there. And it's so funny, man, when you're in, a miracle of God, it's funny. You just don't always understand all that's taking place around you, all the Holy Spirit's doing. And then after a few decades of doing that, my pastor, he finally kind of broke down. And he wrote a book called Miracles in Manhattan. And there he just started laying out all these things that God did through his people filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's just miracle after miracle after miracle. And here's what it did for me and those around me, is it kind of opened my eyes. Man, you and I, we are Acts 29. It's our turn in the story of God. And if you'll pay attention and allow the Lord to work in you and through you, man, who knows what God will do. And so what I'm fighting to do today is, man, in your Bible, sometimes we look at these stories and these people are like, oh man, but these are Bible people, they're different. No, they're not. Man, they are just like you and me, and they're a part of the story of God, and so are you. So we'll read as we go through the series in Acts, like in Acts 16. Do you know that there was there's a woman by the name of Lydia? So Lydia, it says she was a seller of purple. She would have been unbelievably wealthy and successful. She is from Thyatira, so she was an Asian woman. And here's what's so amazing. As great as everything was on the outside of her life, there was still something lacking, something missing. And then it's recorded that God opened up Lydia's heart to receive the preaching of Paul. Man, and she became a Christ follower. And in so doing, she helped Paul establish the church in Philippi. And the reason why I reference her is I know a modern day Lydia. And so there is a woman in our, actually, she was a woman. She was a member of the Metropolitan Opera in Manhattan. Man, she was a Japanese woman. And I just don't know how to say it. She was just cool, man. Like when you look at her on the outside, man, man, she's just always put together, looks cool. Man, has the coolest job. Man, everything was great on the outside. But there was a huge void on the inside. And she was trying to find all these different things to fill kind of this God-sized hole in her heart. And what happened? Man, she started attending our church in Manhattan. And little by little, God was putting the pieces back together in her heart, filling her God-sized hole with the very presence of God. And she was born again. And she became a part of our church in Manhattan. Man, she's Lydia from Acts 16. In fact, I'll do you one better. In Acts 16 as well, it talks about there was a demon-possessed little girl that she would use this demon possession that she would fortune tell. And so these people were trafficking this little girl, and they would use her. But what happened? It says Paul, the Apostle Paul, he became irritated at one point with all this girl's prophesying, and he cast the demons out of this little girl, man. And so with that moment, can I just tell you about another little girl? Her name was Evie. I met her in Manhattan. She's one of the miracles in Manhattan. And so Evie was a part of a vampire cult. Yes, I guess that's a thing, right? And so when you looked at Evie, man, she had so many piercings on her face and in her tongue. It's like you didn't know where to focus your attention and where to look on her face. But she had a radical encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a moment, man, her path was changed and altered. She heard the gospel and she became a born again follower of Jesus Christ. And it's amazing, man, this woman, like with all these tats and piercings and stuff, here's what else she had. She had a heart that loved young people. And do you know what happens? Man, she found herself loving on young people so much so that she wound up become a youth pastor in Manhattan. Man, you go from a vampire cult to leading young people to Jesus, man. Only God can do it. It was a miracle in Manhattan. And man, you read about, I mean, these people in the book, and it's happening in our modern day life. It's just our turn in the story. I'll give you another testimony of someone here locally in our church. Do you know in that Acts 16, the church in Philippi, many of you will be familiar with the Philippian jailer. This guy would have been an ex-military man. He was a jailer, and we don't know what, but we can only guess that he experienced horrible things and filled with pain and self-hate. This man was cruel to other people. And so this Philippian jailer abused Paul and Silas, man, opening their back with wounds. But here's what's crazy. This jailer would radically be changed, man, as a great earthquake took place and the prisoners were released and Paul preached the gospel to this jailer. Man, this jailer, the one who had inflicted the wounds hours before, man, hours later, after becoming a Christian, he and his entire household, he would be cleaning the wounds in Paul and Silas's back, man. It's this incredible story. And I want to tell you, that story is taking place today. Like in our church, there's a gentleman by the name of Kevin Donaldson is his name. And Kevin, he was a former cop, and he had seen some horrific things and been a part of a horrific shooting. And in it, man, there was just bullets flying around and, man, death. And with that, man, it something broke in his soul. And with that, man, it led to depression, despair, alcohol. And in it, man, this sense of self-hate on the inside, man, it started to ooze out into his family and to his loved ones. He was in a very, very dark place until, just like that Philippian jailer, man, Jesus met with Kevin Donaldson. Man, it radically saved him and his entire household. Now Kevin is at our church. Man, he's chronicled his journey through this difficult moment of suffering. He's got a book out, and now what? His children are sitting right next to him each and every Sunday in our church, man. What? See, it's not, these Bible stories aren't just one-offs, but God, the Holy Spirit, is doing it today in our time. And so what's the Holy Spirit doing? Man, ask him. I think it's a great question. It's your turn and my turn in the story of God. And so here's what I need to do. So I don't know if you realize this, but Amazon has a 100-page book out. It's entitled Everything Men Know About Women. It's 100 pages long, and get this, each and every one of the 100 pages are blank. Everything men know about women, nothing, right? And so it's actually kind of funny and comical for that. But here's what would be unbelievably sad is man, if your story, your part in God's story, there's nothing but blank pages because you failed to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what are you doing? What is my part in your story? What would you like to do in me and through me? Man, you are very much Acts 29, and it's your turn in God's story. Let me read to you Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Luke begins this way. He says, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And so you see, Luke is writing this letter, the book of Acts, to Theophilus. Theophilus, it means friend or lover of God. And here's what, with scholars and theologians, they're not sure if it was an actual individual by the name of Theophilus or if he was writing to people, friends and lovers of God. Either way, here's what you need to know. He was writing to the same guy Luke was in the Gospel of Luke. Let me read to you. Luke's Gospel begins like this, Luke 1:1. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. And so we see that, man, that Luke and Acts, Acts is the sequel to the Gospel of Luke. And notice what we read here, that Jesus appeared for 40 days after his resurrection. And so, 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus is just popping up and showing in the most random of places. Like there was a group of men on the road to Emmaus, a 7-mile journey. And on that journey, man, the resurrected Christ joined them. There were women going to anoint the body of Jesus with spices. They were the Spice Girls, okay? And what happens? Man, the resurrection Lord appeared to them. That we know this, that he appeared to over 500 witnesses at one time. That he appeared to 10 of the disciples, one of them, Thomas, wasn't there, man. And what happens? The disciples said, hey, Thomas, you missed it. The resurrected Lord appeared. And he's like, hey, man, the only way I would believe that, if I could put my hand in his scars, then I would believe. And what happened? The Lord had to appear to Thomas, right? And so here's what we see. He's popping up for 40 days. And here's what you need to know. Do you know that numbers are significant in the scriptures? That three is like the number of perfection. You know, we get Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you know, in the Trinity. That we get five is the number of grace. We get eight is the number of new beginnings. But we get 40. 40 is this. It's a number of purification and then new beginnings, right? Purification and then new beginnings. And so here's what we see is that, like in the scriptures, we're no He gets up into the ark, and what? For 40 days and 40 nights, it rains, and then God's doing a new thing in the earth. That we see that, remember, the 10 spies came back with an evil report of unbelief, and so what happens for 40 years? Man, the unbelieving generation had to wander in the wilderness, but after that, God would do a new thing through Joshua and lead God's people into a promised land. That Jesus, for 40 days, he fasted in the wilderness, and fought against the devil himself. But afterwards, man, Jesus came out of that wilderness and was launched into his ministry. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, right? And so we see Jesus now resurrected, appears for 40 days, and now he's doing something new through the Holy Spirit of God. And so in Acts 1, verses 4 through 8, it says this. Verse 4, it says, "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" Verse 6, "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' Verse 7, he said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth.'" And so, like, if I could break a few things down in that, it says, like Jesus says that, man, John, he baptized with water. And so you'll recall that John's baptism, it was a baptism of repentance. It was like, hey, let's get cleaned off and let's have a do-over, okay? And so that was basically what it was. And so, man, you'd get a little bit cleaned up on the outside and hopefully do better than you had done before. But, man, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it does more than just clean you off on the outside. It fundamentally changes who you are. Like if you remember Peter was a man who denied Jesus three times in his moment of need. In fact, the last time he's swearing to a little girl that I do not know him. He's a coward. He was afraid to make a stand for Jesus. But what happens after he's baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? Everything changes. But he stands up and he points his fingers to the same people that just crucified Jesus. And he says, "This Jesus whom you crucified is both Savior and Lord." What happened? Something fundamentally changed on the inside through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That we get to John the Beloved. And you remember John and James, they were called the Sons of Thunder. And do you remember the moment where James and John, they're like, hey Lord, do you want us to call down fire and just burn up the Samaritans? And I don't know if you get that, man, like they were racist. They were racist. They hated these Samaritans. And yet John, man, after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what happens? Man, he starts to fundamentally change on the inside. And we'll read later in the book of Acts that John, he does go to Samaria and he doesn't call down fire. He lays hands on the Samaritans to receive the fire of the Holy Spirit. See, he had fundamentally changed through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so this is kind of interesting little thing, but you know, they actually found a pickling recipe from the first century. It was from this poet physician. His name was Nicandor, and in the recipe, it's kind of interesting. It says this is that you are to bapto or to dip the cucumber in warm water in order to make a pickle. But when you dip it in, what happens? It just cleans off some of the dirt on the outside. It's fundamentally unchanged. But after you baptize it in water, he says, then you're to baptizo it, to submerge it, immerse it, and leave it in a vinegar solution. And what happens after that? After that, that cucumber, it's fundamentally changed into something different. Man, a pickle. And how many know pickles are delicious? And in the same way, man, that when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, man, you are fundamentally immersed in God's Spirit and you're changed. Like God changes you from the inside out. And so, like if I can do a recap, listen, and if you haven't got this, you can go back in our church's podcast. Probably about 2 months ago, I did a 3-week study on the Holy Spirit. Here's a little quick recap and kind of the role of the Holy Spirit. And so notice this, that we'd always say this, that the Holy Spirit is with, in, and upon. With, in, and upon. And so the Spirit of God is with you before you become a Christian. It says in John 16 that when the Spirit comes, he's going to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so, man, before we become a Christian, there's something convicting and arresting us. That's the Holy Spirit convicting you and like drawing you to Jesus. And then when you become a Christian, the Spirit is in you. And you can read that in Ephesians 1, that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, that God's Spirit marks you as forever being a son and a daughter of Almighty God. You're sealed. And so he's with you, in you. But now we just read in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Spirit wants to come upon you with power to be a witness. In fact, if you go back to the Gospel of Luke, remember it was the prequel to the book of Acts. And what does Jesus say? He says, don't go anywhere. Don't do anything until you receive the power promised from my Father. And here we see in Acts chapter 1, Jesus says, don't go anywhere until you receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. And when the promise comes, it will become upon you with power, and he will give you power to be a witness. And so that word power, it's the word dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite, or we can live a dynamic life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it says we would receive power, what, to be a witness. That word witness in the Greek, it's the word martyrs. It's where we actually get the word martyr. And so there's this power that comes upon us that we'll have the strength, the courage, and the fortitude to make a stand for Jesus in the earth. And a witness, what do? They don't have to have a bunch of head knowledge of things. They just have to testify to what they know and what they've experienced, right? And that's the power of the Holy Spirit that God wants to give to you. And so so the Wizard of Oz, if you remember, before we had the Academy Awarding movie, do you know that it was actually, there was an original book. It was written by L. Frank Baum. It was back in 1900. The film wasn't made until 1939. And so actually L. Frank Baum never got to see the film. He died 20 years before the film was actually even made. But here's what's fascinating. Do you know, as they were filming The Wizard of Oz, the wardrobe director, he saw, man, the wizard, and he just, I think we have an image of the wizard coming up. They just didn't like the coat and the outfit that they had from wardrobe. And so they sent an assistant out to a thrift shop nearby. And so they go out and they scour this thrift shop, and he's going through all these things. He's trying to look through something. There's a wisdom, but a humility at the same time. And so he picks out what he figures to be the perfect jacket. So he gets this jacket, and man, they love it at wardrobe, and say they put it on the Wizard of Oz. And get this, come to find out, when the actor opened up the breast on this tailored suit that they bought at a thrift store, on the inseam was embroidered L. Frank Baum. Do you know this? It was the author of the book, The Wizard of Oz. It was his jacket that 20 years before was just given to a thrift store. He was wearing the very jacket of the author. And that's what happens in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, don't go anywhere, don't do anything, but pray and wait to receive the promised Holy Spirit that will come upon you, right? And so you will be clothed with power. And so that's the big idea. Now when you and I, when we are baptized with and in the Holy Spirit, what happens? We put on power from the author and the finisher of our story, man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I think many people, they'll be like, well, how many times do I get to be filled? I have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I thought I got it at salvation or whatever. Let me tell you just personally what I do. I don't know about you, but man, I want power to be a witness each and every day. Each and every day, I'm crying out to the Lord. Lord, fill me today. Baptize me afresh in the Holy Spirit, that I'm clothed with power and that I can boldly testify to all you've done in me and through me in the earth. And so I would encourage you, pray daily to be baptized afresh in the Holy Spirit. I think we all leak a little bit, right? And so we need a fresh infilling of the Spirit that we might testify boldly. And then last, we'll land the plane with this, is at the end of Acts chapter 1, it's interesting, as they're waiting in an upper room to receive the promised Holy Spirit, they decide that Peter and the disciples, they say, hey, Judas is dead. Now we need to replace him on the dream team. And so 12 is the number of government. That's why there's 12 tribes of Israel, and there's 12 apostles. And so they wanted to put it to an even 12. And so they're actually going to vote on two people, Justus and Matthias. And what they did is they actually cast lots or rolled the dice to see who God would choose. And let me read it to you in Acts 1, 23 to 26. It says this, "And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was also called Justus and Matthias. And they prayed and said, 'You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place.'" Verse 26, "And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." And here's what's, man, in the back of my mind, I'm like, man, poor Justus. I wonder what that was like, man, to not like kind of win the apostleship. But here's what's fascinating. If you look, man, Justus and Matthias, these two men that were candidates to be the next apostle, you know what's amazing? You never hear anything else about the two of them. And here's what I would say is, do you know, not all of us are called to be an apostle or to be like me, a pastor, but we are all called to be a witness. And so I just believe, man, that Justus, he might not have been called to be an apostle, but he was called to be a witness. And I believe that he was faithful in that call. Do you know, it's interesting when you read, remember Jesus, when he walked the earth, we had that Peter, James, and John, they were like his closest three. And so when Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration, he took his three with him, Peter, James, and John. That when he healed Cornelius's daughter, raised her from the dead, what happened? Man, he brought in with him Peter, James, and John. And so it's like, man, Peter, James, and John, they're probably going to do unbelievable things. But here's what's fascinating. Do you know that James, the only thing we read about him in the book of Acts is that he was killed by Herod. Isn't that crazy? Like you think, man, he's going to have this big calling and all this. And he was just faithful to live faithful before the Lord and then gave his life. Man, he was a martyr, a witness for Jesus. There's another guy in your Bible. He's in the Hall of Fame of Faith, man. Hebrews 11, where it says Noah by faith and Moses by faith. And it has this guy, Enoch, who did something unbelievable by faith. And you know what it was? It says Enoch walked with God. Isn't that crazy? And so here's my big, the takeaway from this is, man, I want you to be faithful, man, in what God has called you to do. Just faithful in the day-to-day to be consistent over and over that this day I'm going to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Did you know the longest recorded standing ovation was roughly 22 minutes straight, standing ovation for one man. Do you know who that man is? It was actually Cal Ripken Jr. For the Baltimore Orioles. And if you recall what he did, he played 2,632 consecutive games in a row. And so how amazing is it? Do you know what they applauded for the longest standing ovation ever? You know why? Because this man was faithful. He was consistent. And I promise you, man, that the greatest thing you can do is you can be faithful and consistent. Man, I believe that you will get the standing ovation of heaven as you are faithful and consistent in the day today. So let me end our time with this. So the Chronicles of Narnia, I'm not sure if you've seen this, whether you've read the books or you've seen the movies. I remember I was so excited when the movies were coming out, and my oldest daughter, Cassie, she was kind of my movie partner. We're going to go see movies together. And so I remember this day particularly well, man. My daughter was probably like 12 years old, and we're driving to the movie theater. And I remember it was snowing that day. So it was kind of this cool moment, daddy, daughter. And we go to the Chronicles of Narnia, and if you're not familiar with it, it's actually an allegory of Jesus Christ, and they have this great lion figure. I believe we have an image of Aslan. Man, he represents the Lord Jesus Christ. That the name Aslan, it means lion, and Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. But there's this scene in the movie where Aslan, he sacrifices himself for for the people of Narnia. Does that sound familiar to anybody? And as this great lion is brutally murdered and dies and gives up his last breath with it, man, a sacrifice took place. And yet, what happens? Here's what I need you to know. When this happened in the movie theater, I'm crying my face out so violently that I embarrassed my 12-year-old daughter. Right? She's like, hey, old man, get it together, man. It's just a movie, right? But I was just so moved, man, by this scene. And then you remember what happens. Man, Aslan resurrects. He rises from the dead. And as he does, he goes around and he breathes the spirit of life into those that were dead because of evil and because of sin. They rose to life. And you know what they did? They joined in the fight. They joined in the fight with Aslan. And so, do you know that? That's kind of our story. Man, that Jesus, he dies for our sin on our behalf. He's raised from the dead, and then he fills us with the very breath of God. Man, the Holy Spirit of God. Why? God saves us so then he can send us on a mission, man, to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. And so, do you know what, did you know that the Chronicles of Narnia, it's actually 7 books in the series. And I just want to read to you the last paragraph at the end of the Chronicles of Narnia. And it was true for Narnia, and it's true of me and you. C.S. Lewis writes this. He says, all their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. Now at last they were beginning chapter 1 of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. And listen, that's our story. That, man, we've been raised to newness of life, filled with the Spirit, saved and sent now on a mission. But, man, this is just the starting point. Because one day, man, Jesus is going to crack open the sky. He's going to come back. Man, and the next chapter of our life is going to be better than the one before. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much, Lord, for this time in your word. And, Lord, God, I want to pray, God, for those that don't know you. And listen, if you've been watching our time together and you've just never actually taken a moment to give your heart to Jesus Christ, can I tell you this? It's as easy as ABC. A, just admit you're a sinner in need of a Savior. B, believe on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And C, man, just confess with your mouth Jesus as Savior and Lord. Man, and I promise you, as you do that, man, the Spirit will come in, will seal you, and send you on a great mission. So, Father, I pray that you hear every prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.